Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers, episode number 2. I am Chase McCabe at Chase on Game on Twitter. It's a part of our pod center at thegamenashville.com and at ESPN 102.5 The Game. We talk NASCAR, we talk auto racing, Indy 500 this weekend, of course, the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. We will dive into both of those races. Joey Logano will join the show a little bit later on. Of course, he will be racing at the Coke 600 starting second on Sunday night. But we have to look back at the All-Star race, and not necessarily at Kevin Harvick, who once again dominates and wins, and that's all we're talking about these days is Kevin Harvick and that four car and what they have been able to do with Stewart Haas Racing throughout the course of this season. So he wins, but it was the rules package. They ran restrictor plates at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. They did this completely different rules package. And look, I gotta admit, I was excited, but I was a little skeptical of how it was going to work. I thought it was good. I thought that they got exactly what they wanted. It was exciting for the fans. The drivers seemed to like it. You'll hear from a couple drivers here in just a second, but I think that it was good racing. It created passing. You had a little bit of the draft, so you kind of had a hybrid of what you see at what a traditional restrictor plate tracks in Daytona and Talladega. And then you kind of saw a little bit of what you usually see with intermediate tracks. So I liked it. It was a mixed bag, and I thought that the racing was good. Am I ready to see this in points races? Not quite yet. I think it's something that they got to work with. I know they're going to put this in the Xfinity series for a handful of races this year, kind of test it out even further. But I thought it was pretty good. I thought it worked out for him. And again, some of the drivers were asked about it. Here's AJ Allmendinger, who was one of the winners in one of the stages of the Open. He commented on the new rules package.
It was interesting for sure. You know, it get a little frustrating at times because you get stalled out and you can't go anywhere, but vice versa, when you get a run, it feels pretty cool. But, you know, I didn't know what to think. You know, driving by itself, it's the most boring thing I've ever done in my life. But racing like this was pretty good, and I'm pretty sure it put on a decent show for the fans there. So, you know, if that's what we're trying to do.
It definitely put on a decent show, that's for sure. AJ Allmendinger after the Open talking about the rules package. And I think what was interesting about it is going into the race, nobody really knew what to expect. The fans didn't know what to expect. The drivers didn't know what to expect. The commentators, I don't even think NASCAR really knew what to expect. But it was the perfect opportunity to try something like this, a non-points event. These guys are going to go for it anyway. They're going to go checkers or records anyway. They don't care about the race car. So they're going to go try and win that $1 million. So why not? Why not add an element to it and try and make things a little more interesting than they already are in the All-Star race and kind of see what happens? And I think for the most part, NASCAR got what they were looking for. And you know, I'm going to ask Joey Logano about it when he comes on at the bottom, in the third segment. And because I think that it's something that maybe they look at in the near future. You know, it worked at Charlotte. Does that mean it's going to work at Atlanta or Texas? I know similar tracks, but they do drive differently. Is it going to work at Phoenix? Is it, you know, where is it going to work? Where is it not going to work? I know they tried restrictor plates a long time ago at New Hampshire and it didn't work. You know, Indianapolis, maybe that's one of the races that the Xfinity series is going to try it at. You know, that's something they've been trying to fix for a long time, is the racing at Indianapolis, that, you know, you don't get the exciting racing like you see in the Indy cars. You don't get that with NASCAR. It's never really worked that way. So I don't know. I think it's something that they can definitely play with and look at and see how it's going to fit moving forward. Or if this is just something that they try at, you know, a special event like the All-Star race. Jimmy Johnson was asked this week as they prep for the Coke 600, if he would expect, or what he would expect with a rules package like that running 600 miles?
There's been a lot of conversations around it following the excitement in the All-Star race. I don't know. I feel like the first segment's probably the best indication. You know, handling still did matter. You know, you could argue that if the teams had more practice time and we could adjust on the cars, we could get them to all handle much better and stay in a tighter group. So I don't know, but there seems to be a very positive response in what was seen in the race itself. So I know there's a lot of consideration being put into it, and we might just have to try it somewhere to see. You know, that could be the, you know, a realistic next step, to try it at a real points race and see.
And, you know, maybe that's what they do. They just say, you know what, we're going to do it. If it doesn't work, we won't do it again. If it does work, we'll investigate it further. But you don't really know if something's going to work until you try it out. And I think that was the whole point of doing it with the All-Star race. But the fact that NASCAR has tried something and they've made a rule change, albeit for one race, and they're getting positive reviews on it, I think is huge. Because a lot of times they'll put in a rule, or, you know, they'll make some sort of ruling on a situation, and it's always a negative response. It seems like we're always bagging on NASCAR about some dumb decision that they made, because half the time they can't be consistent and, you know, they make changes on the fly. But I think that they got this one right. People seem to be all in on this and thinking, you know what? You didn't mess this up. This actually worked. And I think that this is something that we need to look at further, because I think that the fans got a good show. The drivers aren't complaining about it. The drivers are like, you know, there was a lot of unknowns. There was a little bit of frustration at first, but as we went through the course of the race and the stages, you know, we liked it. We liked how the cars felt and how we were able to drive them. If everybody's feeling positive about it, then I kind of think it's something that you definitely have to revisit. And, you know, don't wait until next year at the All-Star race. If it works in the Xfinity races, maybe find something a little later on, not in the playoffs, but, you know, find something that you can try it out on and see what happens in a points race. I'd love to see that. So we'll see what NASCAR decides to do. But I do know one thing that all these drivers have on their mind, and that is how they stop Kevin Harvick. He's won 5 points races this year. He just won the All-Star race, so 6. Counting that, he's going into the Coca-Cola 600 with a ton of momentum. He's won there before, won the Coke 600 twice in his career. I can remember a few years ago where he won it. Dale Jr. was trying to play the fuel mileage game, and it didn't work out. Harvick got the win there, but he's always been good there, and we know how well he runs on these mile-and-a-half tracks. You know, do I expect him to dominate this race like Martin Truex Jr. did a couple of years ago? No, I don't. I think a lot of these cars have been keying in on that 4 car and trying to get a setup as close to his as possible. They're going to try and challenge him. I would not rule out guys like Kyle Busch or Joey Logano to be in contention for this race for the win. Martin Truex Jr. is another one of those guys. I wouldn't rule out any of them to try to be in contention to chase down Kevin Harvick. But so far, this has been his show. And as I said last week, on the debut episode of Chasing Checkers, which you can find on thegamenashville.com. You can also subscribe and download on Apple iTunes. Just search Chasing Checkers. As I said last week, I don't think it's a terrible thing that he is dominating, but I also don't want to see the championship decided in May. Now, I think NASCAR has taken care of that with the playoff format, because you're going to have things tighten up. Now, he's, you know, getting a ton of playoff points that are going to help him come playoff time. But, you know, I think that as the season goes on, maybe the Chevys will figure it out. They'll get things turned around. Jimmy Johnson has always been good at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and it seems like there are times when he's had a slow start, this is kind of where he turns it on, that he finds something at Charlotte, and then he takes that momentum throughout the summer, and that'll help propel him towards the playoffs. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep this up at this pace, but the month of May and the early part of the season has been very good for Kevin Harvick. And these other teams are going to have to really figure something out to be able to catch him and to take the reins from him, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because he has been fantastic leading the points right now with five races. Kyle Busch, though, Kyle Busch has been no slouch. He's the pole sitter for the Coca-Cola 600. You'll hear from him a little bit later. Coming up on Chasing Checkers, the Indianapolis 500 is also on Sunday. Joseph Newgarden, who, of course, is from the Middle Tennessee area, from Hendersonville, he is starting fourth in that race. He was on with Darren and Donick earlier this week. You will hear from him as he prepares to try and win his first ever Indy 500. He is the defending IndyCar champion. And also, the new NASCAR Hall of Fame class was announced. We'll talk about that all next. It's Chasing Checkers. You can find us on iTunes and also on thegamenashville.com.
Artificial intelligence AI is taking over the world.
How can I help you today?
So put it to work for you.
Your appointment is at 9 a.m.
Ask Alexa to
enable 1025 the game.
Okay.
Once enabled,
Alexa, play 1025 the game.
The future is here.
Let me help you with that.
Ask Alexa to enable 1025 the game.
Back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 1025 The Game, thegamenashville.com, the podcast that is all about NASCAR and auto racing. What's going on? I am Chase McCabe. Give me a follow on Twitter at Chase on Game. I'll be tweeting about a huge racing weekend, the Grand Prix at Monaco coming up Sunday morning. The Indianapolis 500 is in the middle of the day, and then it's capped off by the Coca-Cola 600 later on that night. We'll chat with Joey Logano, who will be racing in the Coke 600. We will do that in the next segment. But right now, it's all about the Indy 500, the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500. And I think a lot of people will be paying attention to that race here in the Middle Tennessee area because of Joseph Newgarden, of course, from Hendersonville. He's going to line up fourth and has a career best finish of third, but he's the defending IndyCar champion. He's already won two races this year. He is in a prime position with Team Penske to possibly win his first ever Indianapolis 500. He joined Darren and Donick earlier this week, and if you missed this interview, you can go to thegamenashville.com and listen to the full thing. But Darren McFarlane asked him the question of, you know, going into this race with the prestige and everything involved, do you kind of let yourself daydream a little bit about what it would be like to sip the milk and to win the Indy 500?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to. I think people that say that you don't, you know, I don't think about it or I don't envision it, I don't know that that's possible. I mean, it is impossible to not envision what you want the most, right? You know, whatever it is, if it's winning an NBA championship or, you know, playing in the NFL, like, you're always going to envision what you want. And so, yeah, it's run through my mind, but it would mean everything. I mean, it is the hardest race to win. You get one shot at it every year. There's so much pressure. It's really easy to mess it up because they give you, you know, these guys, they give you 2 to 3 weeks to work on your race car. And because of that, it's easy to mess it up. You would think, well, you have 3 weeks, so you're going to get the car perfect. And you're like, yeah, but it's too much time to get the car perfect. So then you end up doing something wrong and making it, you know, be good at the beginning of the 2 weeks. And then at the end of 2 weeks, you did something backwards and now you're all turned around. So that's kind of the trick around this place, is like managing the time and making sure that you have everything in place at the right moment. You don't want to peak too soon in the month. You don't want to peak in the middle. You want to peak right at the end when it matters and it's actually race day.
That's Joseph Newgarden on with Darren and Donick earlier this week talking about the Indy 500 and, you know, what it would be like to win it. But he's right. They put so much time into the preparation for this race and, you know, fine-tuning the cars, and they go through carburetor day and qualifying and bunch of practice rounds. I mean, there's literally a month leading up to this race. That's how much time they put into it. So I can understand that there's a little bit of a psych out almost that can go into running this race, that you can kind of overthink things and try and do too much to the car. But I look at Joseph Newgarden, and since he joined Team Penske, you know, this is a guy that started racing out at the Super Speedway here in Nashville and had to work his way up through Indy Lights and then got his first ride in IndyCar and kind of had to pay his dues. Now that he's with Team Penske, he is in the best of the best equipment, and you see him winning a ton of races. I mean, he's made Birmingham pretty much his home track because he wins there all the time. He won the IndyCar Championship last year. We had him in studio, talked to him, and now he is in the best position, I think, that he's ever been in to possibly win the Indianapolis 500. which would be huge, not only for him, but it would be huge for Middle Tennessee. And, of course, he's leading the points again this year, trying to win back-to-back championships. But when you look at the Indianapolis 500, of course, it's a race that has a ton of prestige and has, you know, for many, many years. And I think even fans that, even people that aren't race fans, they pay attention to the Indianapolis 500 because of all the pageantry that goes into it. But with the state of racing kind of where it is and numbers going down and, you know, with NASCAR and IndyCar outside of this weekend, does it still have that prestige? Joseph Newgarden kind of talked about the appeal of the Indianapolis 500.
You could hate race cars and not care at all about racing events, and you should still go see the Indianapolis 500. I mean, to me, it is an American tradition. It is really one of the bedrocks of motorsports, not all over the world, but in the United States. You think about motorsports in the United States, the Indy 500 is like, that is like where it started, man. So it's got the history like nothing else. It's, I mean, it's like going to the Kentucky Derby, you know, and people just get jacked to go do that. They don't really care about horse racing. They just want to go to the Kentucky Derby because it's historical. So Indy 500 kind of has that appeal.
And I think it still has that appeal. I mean, I've never been there. And I know that that is at the top of my bucket list, my sports bucket list. I want to go to the Indianapolis 500. Braden Gall, who hosts our morning show, Morning Drive, he and I have talked about it. He's been several times. And knowing what kind of a gearhead I am and a big race fan, he's like, dude, you've got to go. You've got to check it out. Not so much just for the racing, but the entire weekend, the atmosphere, everything that kind of goes into putting that event on. You know, I've always kind of said one of my dreams is to either be rich enough or to have a friend that's rich enough that has a plane to be able to do the Indy 500 and then fly to Charlotte and do the Coke 600 all in one day. I think that would be absolutely fantastic. But I do think that this race appeals to non-race fans. It appeals to sports fans. It appeals to historians because that track has been there for so long. There's so much history involved in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But then on the flip side, to the race fan, whether you're a NASCAR fan, a F1 fan, a motorcycle fan, or just love racing, love competition, as Joseph Newgarden says, I think this is right up your alley.
I think it is probably the best race you can see in your life. I mean, if you look at it the last 5 or 6 years and you've watched the races, they are incredible. I mean, I think we had something like over 150 lead changes. I could be wrong. I mean, I think it might have been like 300 lead changes. It's nuts. I mean, you don't know who's going to win the race over the last 5 or 6 years, so it's entertaining. And then you just really want to feel the energy of that place. It is still, to this day, the largest attended single sporting event for a single day in the planet. I mean, there's no other event that tops the attendance of the Indianapolis 500. You're going to have 350,000 people there on race day. So to feel that energy in that crowd is something you can't touch on TV. I mean, you just don't understand it when you see it on TV. So you got to go there and you got to experience it and the whole pageantry of it. It's really impressive.
That's Joseph Newgarden on with Darren and Donick. And again, if you missed that interview, just head to thegamenashville.com and you can listen to it in its entirety. Really good stuff. They have a great relationship with Joseph as he's been coming on with them for several years. So the Indy 500, Ed Carpenter on the pole. And I completely agree with what Joseph Newgarden said. I mean, it's just the pageantry. I love watching the telecast on ABC, and I know it's moving to NBC. ABC's done a tremendous job with it over the years, but there's just something about this race and then seeing the skill of these drivers going 220 miles an hour and basically not lifting off the gas at all through the corners. It's just, it's awesome. Just a ton of talent. So Ed Carpenter on the pole. And as we said, Joseph Newgarden will line up fourth, but you have Simon Pegnod in second, Will Power third, Newgarden fourth, and Sebastian Bourdais rounds up the top five. Danica Patrick racing in her final Indianapolis 500, her final race. She's driving the lucky number 13. She will line up seventh as she looks to go for her one and only Indianapolis 500 win. She would be the first woman to do so, which would be fantastic. She announced, you know, at the end of last year when she lost her ride with Stuart Haas Racing in NASCAR, that she was going to run the Daytona 500 one last time, and she was going to run the Indianapolis one last time, called it the Danica Double. Well, she is looking to complete that, has a good qualifying position. So look, I said it on the morning show. I believe that she can probably finish in the top 10. Is she going to win it? Probably not. I think Joseph Newgarden is my pick. But I think that Danica will give it a good run. She's in good equipment. And wish her nothing but the best as she runs her final race. You're listening to Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. We'll have Joey Logano coming up in just a few minutes. But I do want to give a hats off to the new Hall of Fame class of 2019. It was announced they'll be put in early next year. But the new Hall of Famers, and this is a pretty loaded class for NASCAR, leading the way is Jeff Gordon, four-time champion. I think everybody knew he would be a lock. He'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Only had to wait 2 years, and he got an exemption when he filled in for Dale Jr. a couple of years ago. So he is now a Hall of Famer. Jack Roush, longtime team owner, championship car owner. He is going in. Roger Penske is a guy that is synonymous with both NASCAR and IndyCar. He is going in. Alan Kilwicki, the 1992 Cup Series champion who had his career cut short due to a tragic plane crash. And then Davey Allison, also going in to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, a guy that I have learned a lot about over the years, knowing Liz Allison like I have, and I could not be happier for her and her family that they finally get to celebrate this. I know that with both Kilwicki and Davey Allison, there were some arguments of, well, they didn't win a ton of races. Davey Allison never won a championship. But look, if you look at the body of work, especially with Davey Allison and what he did in such a short amount of time, you have to put him in. Even though he didn't win a championship, I think that he would have. I think he would have won multiple championships had he not died in a tragic helicopter crash at Talladega. But I think that he deserves it. Kilwicki deserves it. I love this class. And Jeff Gordon gave his comments on what it means to go in to the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
I'm so honored. I mean, I've been coming here to the Hall the last several years, being a part of other inductees. And, you know, every time I've had a chance to come here, and especially when it's people that you worked with, like Ray Evernham and Rick Hendrick, you know, people that you know that you competed against, like Mark Martin. I mean, those are when you start to realize how special this is, and luckily, and NASCAR has made it so special. So I've always said timing has been on my side in my career, and the timing couldn't be better than right now to be going into the Hall of Fame. This is very special.
So Jeff Gordon, who is now a NASCAR on Fox commentator, and again the four-time champion, he is a Hall of Famer. And look, I don't think there's anybody on the face of this earth that's going to argue that. I mean, that guy was so incredibly special, love him or hate him, in a time where he was needed. He bridged the gap between the old race fan and the old guard, you know, with the Petties and the Earnhardts. And I mean, look, he had a great rivalry with Dale Earnhardt, but they had a great amount of respect for one another as well. I mean, they were good friends. I remember the milk toast that that they had with one another, you know, back in I think it was Dale Earnhardt won his final championship. Jeff Gordon gave him the toast with the glass of milk. And I just think it was a big time for NASCAR in the early to mid 90s when Jeff Gordon came on the scene. And a lot of people didn't like him because he wasn't the good old boy, because he, you know, he was California, he was indie guy. He was like, nah, he wasn't a NASCAR guy. But I think he helped bridge that gap, especially when TV contracts were so important and they were working these deals with, you know, ESPN and ABC and CBS and later on Fox and NBC. I just think Jeff Gordon was a big part of that. And one of the guys that Jeff Gordon discovered and kind of helped give him start along with Rick Hendrick was Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson commented on his mentor going into the Hall of Fame.
His accomplishments, we all know on the track, and I guess we all know in this room how he was so integral at a point in time for NASCAR to take us mainstream, and really kind of transcended the sport like maybe only Senior had been able to do, or Richard Petty in their eras. And I think the competition and the rivalry that existed between Dale Senior and Jeff was a big ingredient in that. TV, media, nationwide exposure all worked well, and Jeff's timing and his success and his willingness to be out there and his ability to be out there and carry the sport, you know, just took him to all new heights. And then to drive for him, be selected by him, you know, it's been mind blowing. I can't thank him enough for the opportunities that I've had, the way it's changed my life, racing against him, being friends with him. I'm just truly happy for he and his family, and I know it's going to be a big celebration for those guys.
Yeah, I guess if you want to get technical with it, Jeff Gordon's a 12-time champion, 4 as a driver, 7 as an owner, because he's a part owner of the Jimmy Johnson car there with Hendrick Motorsports. But just a tremendous career, and hats off to all these guys. Again, Jeff Gordon, Jack Roush, Roger Penske, Davey Allison, Alan Kulwicki, all going into the Hall of Fame. And then Jim Hunter gets the Landmark Award, a longtime employee of NASCAR and media relations. So very, very cool Hall of Fame class that was announced earlier this week at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. When we come back, we're going to chat with Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Penske Racing Ford. I had a chance to talk to him about the rules package at the Charlotte Motor Speedway last weekend for the All-Star Race and what's ahead this weekend for the Coca-Cola 600. It's Chasing Checkers, Chase McKay, BSPN 102.5 The Game, and TheGameNashville.com.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at TheGameNashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Everybody on their feet. Logano's going to go top to bottom to keep Kurt Busch at bay. And Joey Logano wins Talladega. Kurt Busch, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Ricky Stenhouse, the top five.
We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, and online at TheGameNashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you, and pleased to be joined by the driver of the number 22 Penske Ford in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, Joey Logano. Joey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
I am doing great because I am excited for Memorial Day weekend. It's probably my favorite Sunday because racing is on literally all day with Monaco, the Indy 500, and then, of course, you guys in the Cup Series with 600 miles of racing at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I know that you're amped up for that, but before we get into 600 miles of racing, I do want to ask you, I have a ton of questions about the All-Star Race and this rules package that you guys ran, running restrictor plates at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. What was that like?
It was something, that's for sure. You know, I don't think anyone knew what to expect going into the All-Star Race, and you know, kudos for NASCAR for trying something. You know, I think our races in the past have been good. You know, I don't think we've had any problems, but you know, sometimes you have to try things to really know what it's going to be like. And they took a big swing at it, put restrictor plates on it, bigger spoilers, bigger splitters, adding a lot of downforce and drag to the race cars, and you know, tried to create more of a pack style of race. And I thought it was good as kind of a hybrid of what Daytona and Talladega would be compared to what a typical Charlotte race would be at a mile and a half. And you know, to the point that the leader can be wide open, but if you're in traffic, you had to lift a little bit, handling played, and some cars that were good were able to drive through the field, and there's cars like Kevin's car that was, you know, the fastest car when he was out front, but there's times when he was back in the pack a little bit, he didn't have the easiest time getting his way back towards the front either. So you were able to set up your car for handling or speed, and trying to find that compromise was a little bit of fun. I think the racing was tight. It was hard. We were racing with nothing to lose, you know, with $1 million a game. So I thought that was a fun night for sure.
Do you think it's something that we could see in the future? I know they're going to run that setup or a similar setup on some of the Xfinity cars later this year. But do you think that's something that we could see on a regular basis at some of these mile and a half tracks?
Possibly. Yeah, I think we need to be smart about it. We don't want to just jump into something, and if we don't fully understand the package, obviously, you know, the All-Star Race, having shorter runs, being a shorter race, like I said, having nothing to lose, those things all play into how the racing was as well. So I think we have to be methodical about the decisions we make as a whole, as a sport, moving forward and making sure we're going down the right road, which I'm confident NASCAR will make those right decisions. But I think it's definitely something to think about. You know, it's something that I thought was pretty entertaining from the driver's seat. And even rewatching it when I got home that night is pretty entertaining. And so I think that's a great thing, you know, for a sport. I don't think it was a bad direction in any way. So yeah, I would probably, you know, I would guess that you're going to see some of this more in the future. But I think we also need to be smart about how we do it. And I'm sure there's some ways we can probably adjust the package a little bit more to make it even better. So, you know, one step at a time here.
Chatting with Joey Logano. He'll be racing in the Coca-Cola 600 this Sunday, 5 o'clock Central Time on Fox. So 600 miles. I know that it's the longest race of the year. It's tough on you, the driver. It's tough on the cars. Do you do anything different in, during race week to prepare for 600 miles?
You know, honestly, don't change a whole bunch to prepare for the 600 miles because we're preparing as much as we possibly can every week. Physically, as a driver, you know, you're hydrating the best you possibly can. You know, mentally, you're trying to prepare yourself for an extra 100 miles. That's probably the hardest part because this race is already pretty long, and when you add another 100 miles on top of that, it's just pretty challenging. It's going to be hot out. The track's going to go from day to night, and it's a long weekend. We get on track on Thursday, and you know, we don't race till Sunday, so there's a lot to figure out in that amount of time to try to get your car as best as it can. You know, but you know that extra 100 miles, you know, as a driver, is definitely challenging. But on the race teams, you know, you think about the motor's got to run all 100 miles. All the parts on the cars that we typically mileage out after one race has to go an extra 100 miles now. It's an endurance race, and that's what makes the Coca-Cola 600 so special. It's a crown jewel event. It's right up there with, in my opinion, the Brickyard 400, Daytona 500, Coca-Cola 600. It's all in the same group, in my opinion. And that's how important it is to try to get a win and win that crown jewel event.
Is there a different layer of difficulty when you basically kind of start in the daytime and then go into the twilight and then into night? You basically have three different phases that you have to race through?
It's yes, it's very hard. Because Charlotte as a racetrack changes probably more than any other track we go to from day to night. How the car's handling changes, the track gets a lot faster as the sun goes down and it grips up. You know, so you have to be good at the end of the race, obviously, to win, but don't forget about the stages, right? You got to be able to go out there and score those stage points. That's very, very important for us to go out there and win a championship at the end of the year. So if we can score those stage points early in the race, that's important, but we have to stay up on our adjustments during the race to make sure we're good when the pay window opens and you see that trophy at the end of it.
Chatting with Joey Logano here on Chasing Checkers. So Ford has had a pretty good year thus far, 7 wins total. You have one of those, but this Kevin Harvick guy, he seems to be ruling things right now. What is it that you guys have to do to try and catch him and what they're doing over there at Stewart Haas?
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything. In all honesty, you know, when you start winning races like Kevin is right now, your confidence is skyrocketed. The momentum that's built in through the race team, they can't do any wrong at this point. They're just plugging away, doing really good. It's going to take a lot to kick him down off of that, and we will be able to over time. You know, I think for us as a race team right now, you know, we need to get our Shell Penzo 4 just a little bit quicker. You know, I feel like we're definitely a top 5 car here recently, but we need to be a little bit quicker to be as fast as the 4 car. You know, but I think, you know, outside of that, the pit stops, all that stuff comes along as that momentum keeps building, and you keep wins will happen. And then we can take Kevin off his high horse. It just takes a little bit.
Joey, I got one more for you. As you go into this weekend with the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 all on the same day, Roger Penske, synonymous with both of those events, what would it mean to you to get your first Coca-Cola 600 win for Roger this Sunday at Charlotte?
It would mean so much. But, you know, really the weekend, obviously there's a lot of great racing, as you brought up in the beginning of this, over the week. But, you know, I think what I don't want to, you know, overshadow is what this weekend's all about honoring our military. That's the biggest thing about this weekend. And NASCAR does an amazing job. Charlotte Motor Speedway, the whole industry does an awesome job at honoring our military men and women that that fight for our freedom and make sure that we remember them on such an important weekend. So, yes, there's a lot of great racing. There's a lot of, great action that'll be happening on the racetrack, but we also need to remember why we get to do that.
Joey, hey, I appreciate the time. And just real quick, last year before the Coke 600, I did an interview with Austin Dillon, and he won the race. So I don't know if that means anything, but it could be sending some good vibes. So I appreciate you taking the time.
If that's the case, we're doing one next year too.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Joey.
All right, thanks.
That's Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Penske Ford. Of course, Penn's oil on that car, and will roll off second for the Coca-Cola 600 this Sunday. He's already got a win this year, so he's in the playoffs. But, I heard him, or you heard me ask the question about Kevin Harvick and what he can do to chase him down. Look, the Fords have been good this year. I mean, they have dominated with the way that they have been running. Chevy, of course, has had their struggles. Toyota's been pretty good, but it's been all Ford for the most part. And I just think that the problem is you got one guy that is really dominating in his own right. And I think Joey Logano and that Penske team, they have run well. You heard him say he wants to try and find a tick more speed in the car, but he's rolling off second Sunday in the Coca-Cola 600. I think he's in a very good position to try and win that race. He has won at the Charlotte Motor Speedway before in the fall race, which now, of course, is going to be on the Roval, and then he has won the All-Star race, but he has never won the Coca-Cola 600. And I think that the endurance factor comes into play for any driver. You see a lot of first-time winners in the Coke 600, so it has a little bit of that unknown to it. But I think when you look at how Joey Logano and that Penske bunch has been running, if anyone can challenge Kevin Harvick outside of Kyle Busch, I think Joey Logano might be that guy. I would not be surprised at all if he doesn't win another race this year, or several more races before we get to the playoffs. I just think that he's running that well right now, and seems to have things clicking on all cylinders. So appreciate Joey Logano for taking the time to join us, and for NASCAR for setting that up. That's one thing that we're going to try and bring you a lot of here on Chasing Checkers, is some exclusive interviews with some of the best drivers in the world out of NASCAR and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So something we will try and do each and every week. And of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes. You can find us on thegamenashville.com. We will release a new episode of Chasing Checkers every Friday afternoon, and then it will play throughout the weekend on 102.5 The Game as well. When we come back, that's right, the Coca-Cola 600. I will give you my thoughts on this race, who I think has a chance to win, and you will hear from some of the drivers participating as well. Follow me on Twitter, at ChaseOnGame. More Chasing Checkers coming up next.
Stay up to date on the latest news in sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN The Game Nashville on Google Play or iTunes and download the Game Nashville app now.
Moving right along here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you at Chase on Game on Twitter. Appreciate Joey Logano for joining us in the last segment. Really good stuff with him. I was excited to have him on, just as a guy that, he's a young driver. He's one of the best in the business right now, and has already has a win to his credit at Talladega earlier this year. And I think he's got a pretty good chance lining up second this Sunday to possibly win the Coca-Cola 600 for the first time in his career. And what a day that would be, because if what I think is going to happen at Indy, which is Joseph Newgarden, and if Joey Logano won, that's a sweep for Team Penske in the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. So best of luck to Joey Logano. Appreciate him for joining us. So yes, we are here. We talked about the Indy 500. Now it's time for the Coke 600, the longest race in NASCAR. And you heard me ask Joey Logano about this, because I think what the most difficult thing that these drivers have to face is not only the distance, but the fact that you pretty much have to have three different races all in one. And that's not including the stages, but you start the race in the day, and then you go into kind of twilight, the dusk, a transitional period, and then into night. Well, the car is going to drive differently in all three phases of that race. And so I think what really separates everybody, separates the best from the also-rans, or how you can keep up with the race car. And that also goes to the driver of being able to give the crew chief the proper information that he needs to be able to make the adjustments to the car as the race goes on. It's not going to be easy, but I think that, you know, these guys know what they have to do. They had last weekend, albeit a completely different rules package, so I don't really know if you could take much away from what happened last weekend in the All-Star race and really apply that to the Coca-Cola 600. But it's going to be interesting to see what these guys throw at the race cars in order to try and win this race. Jimmy Johnson commented on that earlier this week about all the preparation that goes into the Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah, when I first started, obviously no stages to consider or worry about. So that was way different, and you just race differently. The whole environment was different on the track. The Mark Martin way of working with somebody and let them go, they'll let you go, and playing that game, it's out the window now. So that's one element. And then two, as the cars continue to get faster and faster, it's just harder and harder to make competitive passes. So those two elements make you fight for track position starting on Friday in qualifying, or Thursday, I guess, this week in qualifying, and carries right on through even 600 miles.
So you listen to Jimmy Johnson, who has always been successful at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, just talk about how much it's changed, how much the mindset and everything has changed since he started racing there, and that the old ways just, they don't work anymore based on how the cars are set up and the rules package and all of that that goes into it. It's interesting to hear that because, I mean, you know, you can do the physical stuff of preparing your body and staying hydrated and things like that. But if you've driven a certain way and been successful at it and one race is doing it that way, and then all of a sudden one year it changes based on whatever the case may be, then you have to completely start over. And I think that's what's so unique about a race like this, because you have to play the endurance game both with yourself and with the race car. And that's something that Jimmy Johnson and that crew, they were always really good at. And in recent years, just with the new car and the different setups, it just hasn't been the case. You know, we saw last year Austin Dillon won it on strategy and got his first win. We've seen Kevin Harvick do that before. We saw Martin Truex Jr. just dominate a couple of years ago, basically led the whole race. And so you really never know what's going to happen. It's kind of like a restrictor plate race where there's a lot of unknowns. But what I do know is Kyle Busch is on the pole. And outside of Kevin Harvick, I would say Kyle Busch has probably been the best driver this year. Kevin Harvick's kind of in a league of his own, having won 5 races and then the All-Star race to make it 6. But Kyle Busch has been fantastic as well. He's got 3. He's sitting on the pole. He's never won a points-paying race at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Here's Kyle Busch on what winning the 600 would mean.
Yeah, it's important to me. I don't know that it's important in the grand scheme of things, but it certainly is important to me. I'd love to be able to get that knocked out of the way and to be finished with it until there's another new track that comes up on the circuit. And certainly it's been a trying time here over the course of my career. It just hasn't come to fruition for a points race, but last I checked, I got a trophy at home that says winner Charlotte Motor Speedway on it, so I'll take that to my grave with me if I do never get a points win here. So that'll be my saving grace, I guess.
It's hard to believe with all the winning that Kyle Busch has done over his career, and look, he's still relatively young. Everything he's done, he doesn't have a points-paying win at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. He's won the All-Star race. I'm sure he's won truck races and Xfinity races, but he doesn't have a Cup points-paying win there with all the tracks that he's won at. Look, I think this weekend is probably the best chance he's had. He's sitting on the pole. He's got a really fast race car. I think that the Toyotas have done a good job of challenging the Fords. You know, I don't really see too much out of the Chevys going into the race on Sunday to make me think that they're going to be able to make a run at it, unless it's like it was last year and it was a strategy type thing. I mean, the highest starting Chevy is Ryan Newman in 6th, then Jamie McMurray, and that is it for the top 10. So you have a Toyota on the pole and then Joey Logano on the outside pole, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski make up the top five. So three Toyotas, two Fords, and then Newman, McMurray, Ryan Blaney, Eric Almirola, Daniel Suarez, rounding out the top 10. The next Chevy on the list, Kyle Larson, Austin Dillon in 11th and 12th, respectively. And then you got to go on down before you can find anybody else. So the Chevys, as we've talked about, have struggled to find the speed to dial that new Camaro in, and I don't see it really changing. So if I have to make an actual pick, the easy pick is Kevin Harvick, but I think I'm going to go with the pole sitter, Kyle Busch. I think he gets his fourth win of the season, which when you look at the month that Kevin Harvick has had, and that's what's fresh on everybody's mind of just how dominant he has been. He won three in a row. Look, Kyle Busch has been, you know, not as dominant, but pretty close. And so these two are slugging it out right now for the top spot in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And I just think that Kyle Busch is probably going to be able to get it done. He's going to have to play this strategy game of working on the race car and trying to figure things out. But just the way they have been able to run lately and win the races that they have, I would have no doubt that he's going to be there late Sunday night when they're racing for the checkered flag. But hey, you know what? I'm always wrong, it seems. It could be a situation like last year where you have Chase Elliott or somebody that hasn't won before, that their crew chief plays the strategy game and puts them into a position to try and win. And with the way the playoffs are set up, yes, you have to race for points. You want to be in that top 16. But I do think that that format allows crew chiefs a little more wiggle room to make those kind of gambles at the end of races, to maybe stay out on older tires or try and push the fuel window and run on fumes and try and win a race. I think you're seeing a little bit more of that now because they know that all they have to do is win a race and then they're in. They're into the playoffs. So I think that you have it creates that drama for the fans, and I think that people really like that because you have more and more teams going for it and kind of just rolling the dice, so to speak, as to make the reference with the ruling coming down with gambling this week. I think NASCAR drivers have been doing that for a very long time with race strategy. So we will see what happens with the Coca-Cola 600, the Indianapolis 500, of course, the Grand Prix at Monaco. My thanks to Joey Logano for joining us this week in NASCAR to help set that up. Very cool chat with him. Again, every Friday afternoon, you can find Chasing Checkers posted on thegamenashville.com. Download it in iTunes, subscribe, rate it, love it. And of course, you can hear it throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. We will be back next week with another edition. We'll talk about the Coca-Cola 600 and look ahead to the rest of the season as well. I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget what this weekend is all about. Remember those that gave it all so that we can sit here and watch racing all weekend long.
Nick Kale.
It feels like it's part of the plan to set up something bigger.
Braden Gall.
People everywhere in the country are interested.
Derek Mason.
You knew he was good. I knew he was good.
Right. Morning Drive.
He's a good player, but I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback.
Weekdays at 6 a.m. on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.